Hey there, welcome to the Game Artist Podcast. My name is Ryan Kingsline. I am the founder of the Game Art Institute, where we train artists for the career of their lives. In this podcast, we interview amazing game artists to see what makes them tick and see how they got where they are today. So sit back, relax. I look forward to sharing their journey with you. All right, David, so glad you're here.
Thank you very much for inviting me.
Absolutely. Tell me real quick, where's Elite 3D?
Elite 3D is from Valencia in Spain.
Okay. Talk to me about the European market.
I think the European market in general, it's as competitive as other markets. But I think to get in, especially if you're European, it's easier than to go into other countries. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah, totally.
It's harder to go from Europe to America and vice versa. But for people who are from Europe, it's definitely an inviting place, I have to say.
Great. Does anybody there want to switch visas or passports, by the way? Because I've been like dying for a EU passport.
Really?
I could just travel around and maybe go to Paris, get some crepes.
Actually, many of my friends and people who start in this industry always want to go to the States because it's one of the biggest market in the whole world. But Europe is growing, and that's the really cool thing. I mean, as Europeans, although Europe is a little bit like in the autumn, you know, in terms of growing, I think it's growing slowly and it's going there. So yeah, I think Europe is a good place.
I was just reading something earlier today about how China is going to, or already has, eclipsed the US as a economic in terms of the revenue and all that stuff. And then India in 2030 is going to eclipse the US in terms of the size of the market.
Yes. I've heard of that too, unfortunately, but that's the reality of the situation.
Yeah, we have a house. We bought a house in India, actually, a while ago. I think just
so you're prepared, I guess.
We're prepared. I'm prepared. Yeah. So what do you do? What do you do at Elite 3D?
First of all, I just want to mention that I'm from Portugal. I'm from Lisbon, but I work in Spain. So I'm a character artist and I work in Elite 3D now for 2 years and almost three. It's going to be in 2 months. I'm going to do 3 years in Elite. And I've worked in many projects since I was there. My first project was Call of Duty Infinity Warfare. And then I worked in other projects, Call of Duty Online. And then I went to the Call of Duty World War II team. That was like 2 years ago, I guess, or 1 year and a half ago. And I worked on it for a year. And now I'm working on projects I cannot say because of NDA, as usual, you know, the usual conversation.
Robert was mentioning your Call of Duty work. And so did you guys work as outsource, or what's the relationship?
Yes, we worked as an outsource for Activision. Sledgehammer is the studio who's making the game.
Yeah.
And we were helping them in terms of characters, props, vehicles, environment, etc. And our team was like, just for characters, like 12 to 16 people.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a lot of work during a whole year.
And who do you interface? How does that relationship work? Because if I understand it correctly, there's usually an outsource manager, who is an artist as well.
Yes.
So how does the relationship work when you're signed up for the job? And really, I'm just looking at this from like the artist perspective, not necessarily.
Artist perspective, yeah.
You know, it's just like, what kind of things do you have to do on a daily basis? So you come in and you've got like commands from headquarters. Like, for example, a long time ago, I went to Shanghai actually to train the artists at EA Shanghai on ZBrush. And there they were working with, although I think they've changed it up. And I think I'm sure it's much different than when I was there, because it was a long time ago. But there they were trying to develop a 24-hour clock. They were trying to say, okay, the US team hands it off to the Asian team, and then the Asian team hands it off to the US team. And then, you know, and they keep doing that back and forth. Mm-hmm. But it ultimately didn't, there were too many problems with it because you can't really just hand something off and be like, all right, goodbye, let's not talk.
You got
it now, and then just make it better for tomorrow. So what does it look like? Do you guys have full control over assets?
Yes and no. So just a brief explanation, like our company was founded by two 3D artists who decided to do freelance in Spain. They travel around the world and work, etc. And then the company grew and they had a client, Activision, of course. And then loads of artists started working in World War II, Call of Duty. In Valencia were like 60 people around that of many areas of 3D. Always art. Oh, I'm always talking about art. We use softwares to organize our daily work, I have to say. As you know, like as game artists, we have to do a high poly, we have to do a low poly, we have to do UVs, bakes, and final texture. So everything is in the pipeline. So each
what
time
do you, what do you use to check it in and out? Do you like, are you saying you check something in and check something out?
Exactly. Like, for example, at the end of the day, you always send like your work to the client. That's the main thing. So the client reviews or approves, and then you can proceed or just use the feedback and implement it and then continue on. And to the next step, always like this, always. So you always have a target at the end of the day, which is to deliver. Even though if you don't deliver, you can deliver on the next day and work on a different asset or while waiting for feedback, which this, you always have this range, which you never stop working. Mm-hmm. And you always have an objective at the end of the day, have to deliver something or not. So that's the main thing.
What do you guys use to check in and out? Is it just some kind of simple task management software?
Yeah,
or
yeah. It's just I'm working on this and I'm not working. That's very simple.
Okay, got it. All right. So artists, you're working on these things, and then are you getting, like, do you work on this multiple days? They give you a character and you've got to work on the character, or?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It depends on the assets. Like on my portfolio, you can see there's like a variety of characters or props, character props. Because character artists do a lot of character props too.
What's a character prop?
A character prop is like a helmet, glove, something that requires specific software sometimes. Because, for example, prop artists, they don't know how to do clothing most of the time.
Right.
So the character artist goes and helps or does the asset itself. Or, for example, you have a statue with a horse and it requires a lot of sculpting. Yeah. And that sculpting sometimes is not done as fast as a character artist. You know, by environment artist.
So, yeah, anything organic, right? Where you're dealing with anatomy, you know, something that you'd be more fluent in.
Yes.
Yeah. Great. Okay. And so in this particular case, so, you know, what's your turnaround time? Are you 3 days, 2 days? Do you have to work fast? Do you have a lot of iterations?
Yeah, we have iterations. Like I can actually say it's normally high poly, low poly, bake and UVs. UVs and bake in this case, and texturing. So it's like four processes. And we work actually in a very tight schedule most of the time.
Mm-hmm.
It really depends on the client, because in this specific case, I'm talking about just Call of Duty, but it really depends on the client. Sometimes clients can give you more days or less days. It really depends.
So, yeah. Okay. What's a tight deadline? Is it let's say on the statue? Are we talking about a week for a high poly, or are we talking about 2 days for a high poly?
A week for a high poly. Okay. But it's still like, sometimes artists, they get attached to work and they want to do a really good work. And sometimes you're like, oops, I don't have those days to do that. So yeah, we have to be realistic and just do this and deliver.
How'd you get into this? Did you go to college, European college, do this stuff online?
Actually, I started with listening to your videos. I have to admit. Yeah. I was studying engineering for 3 years and then I decided to stop and say, look, I have to rethink what I want to do. Mm-hmm. And then by accident, I found ZBrush on Google. I don't know how.
Yeah.
I had a friend who was using Max, 3D Studio Max, to model. Mm-hmm. And he was modeling like a face. And I was like, oh, let me try that. And then I was using 3D Studio Max. And I was like, this software is not for me. I would love to do characters or faces or organic stuff. But poly by poly, it's not my thing, I guess. And then I just discovered ZBrush by accident and started listening to tutorials, everything that was on YouTube, everything that was online. I was like, I'm going to give this software a try. And then I did. And after 2 days, I gave up. But then after a week, I returned. And I returned with full force. And I said, I can do this and I'm going to do it. And I did it. So
I wonder, does anybody open up Max or Maya and go like, oh, I found the program of my dreams? Have you heard anybody say that? I've never heard anybody say that.
No, but ZBrush is way, way better.
Yeah.
I love Maya, but ZBrush is the thing.
Yeah. Yeah. And once you know Maya, like I was just getting into some of the features there, because I get kind of stuck in ZBrush land or Substance land nowadays. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it is fun to get back into Maya. There's so much power in that tool. My God, blows my mind. Except for sculpting, of course.
Yeah, of course.
So do you guys use Substance? Do you use Quixel? What do you use for texturing? Photoshop?
We used to use Quixel. I think Quixel was, in its days, the main software for texturing. But then Substance won the race, I have to say. Fortunately, it won the race because Quixel was so slow that it just killed me. So Substance is now industry standard.
Yeah. And so you guys use Quixel still? Or
Sometimes. Okay. It's like for normal maps. It has some cool things that Substance doesn't have, or or you can do it in XNormal. But now XNormal, for example, is being substituted for Marmoset because you can bake it in Marmoset now.
Totally.
So, yeah.
Yeah. And how much of your pipeline is, I kind of want to get a sense of software to some extent. And I get different perspectives on this. And so, for example, I was talking to Josh Herman, who's the character art director over at Cloud Imperium. Mm-hmm. And he was talking, you know, they got a lot of hard surface and they got spacesuits and stuff like that. So he's like, mm-hmm. you know, ZBrush is, I think they calculated out and it's like 1/16th of their pipeline is in ZBrush. Not a lot. Right. But then I was talking to another artist who was over at Electronic Arts, and they do, I mean, they poly paint, they do their modeling in ZBrush with ZModeler. Like they stay inside of ZBrush 80% of the time.
Mm-hmm.
How about you guys?
In our company, every artist have the software. For example, I see people with Max, they use Maya, ZBrush, mm-hmm. Blender, anything, mm-hmm. right? Sometimes it's like, how can you get the job done? Okay. In the most comfortable way for you, you know? But of course, the client most of the time wants something in a specific software. So you have to deliver that. But sometimes people don't know the software. And when you're working with a team, everyone is helping you. And in a week or two, you just manage it yourself alone, you know? So there's no fear in that. And we use, like, I would say for the high poly, is always ZBrush and Maya sometimes. So it's like a mixture of both. But sometimes, or most of the time, we present stuff inside ZBrush as for the final sculpture. Even though we made loads of stuff in Maya, or mm-hmm. it really depends on the person, because sometimes people love to model everything inside ZBrush. Others use Maya, others use Max. I would say like 40% ZBrush and 40% Maya, because I would say Maya for low poly, UVs, etc. And then the bakes like Marmoset, which I would say 5%, and 15% Substance to texture. It's always like a big fraction of modeling. It really always depends on the object and the complexity of texturing or modeling.
Got it. Okay, great. So in terms of Substance, there's a million ways to skin a cat here in terms of texturing. But do you have a workflow with Substance where it's very much like you just work inside a Substance or just work inside a Quixel and you export the maps out and then those maps go and they fit perfectly in with Marmoset or Unreal or wherever this is supposed to go? Or do you do a lot of work in Photoshop to kind of just massage the maps and get them in and adjust it? Or do you rely on your pipeline more?
There was a problem like we fixed with during a game production that mm-hmm. Substance was smoothing or blurring some pixels in the exporting of the textures. Okay. So someone found out about it, and then we started exporting everything with Photoshop. For example, that's just one example. But most of the time, we try to consolidate all the pipeline into little softwares, very few softwares. For me, I try to do it as that. Like ZBrush High Poly, modeling Maya, texturing Substance, and baking and presentation Marmoset. That's it. But I have to say, like long time ago, I used to use Topogun and UV layout. But now I'm trying to just do everything in just one software or two or three in this case.
Yeah, and Maya's quad draw is reasonably.
Yeah, I think it's I've learned to quad draw with Gilberto Magno, the Brazilian guy.
Yeah,
and I think he was doing a meeting with you, and I was watching, and I was like, okay, I'm gonna give this a try, and I did, and never went back to Topogun ever.
That sounds great. Yeah. That was one of my interviews.
If I recall, yes. I mean, I watched a lot of your interviews in the past.
Yeah.
A lot. Like awesome. A lot.
That's cool. Thanks, man. All right. So this is just kind of for my game artists, for my students. What's really awesome about this job? Because it's kind of a pain in the ass to get this job, isn't it?
It is. It's a very demanding job to be an unemployed artist.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why the hell did we go through this?
Well, we go through this pain, I have to say. Well, if it's not pain if you like it.
Fair enough. Yeah. You know, well, that's a different conversation.
Yeah.
50 Shades and all that. But,
that's true.
You know, why, what's good? Give me a good reason for this job.
Why this job is good? Because you get to work on things that, for example, for me, when I was young, I used to play a lot of video games. And I was like, how the hell is this made? You know, there's got to be someone in there. And now they're working it. It's a really cool job. Every day I go to work happy, I have to say. The happiest moment for the artist is when they get to show the work they've done. That is the happiest moment of their whole career, I have to say, or when you or a project, you know.
I want to drill a little deeper in that, because you said you were kind of in engineering, right?
Yes.
You could be in an engineering job right now, doing 40 hours a week, going home.
I don't think I would be that happy. No. I need a job that I need to do something different every day. Yeah. I tried to work in a supermarket when I was young to get some bucks, you know.
Yeah, I've done that job.
Yeah, and you know, like when you get those jobs, you start valuing more the other jobs, and you listen to adults saying, study, you know, you should study. And it's actually true. It's so simple, but it's true. You should study, you should develop skills, have talent, and you will have a better job. And I couldn't be an engineer. I tried many careers in the past, but engineering was the biggest one, but I just couldn't. I saw gaming as a passion, as a hobby, as everything. And I was like, maybe I could work on this, you know?
Yeah.
I just saw the light at the end of the tunnel, and I didn't care how long the tunnel was, you know? If it took me 2 years, 3 years, 5 years, I would just get it. I would reach the light.
That's awesome. That, I think, is probably one of the biggest, in terms of everybody I've interviewed and I've talked to, is like, that's the biggest common denominator, is just like, you know, I'm just going to do this. That's it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's no, you know, like, oh, well, maybe I'll be, you know, I'll be in this kind of, I don't know, random business job, but if you want it, you get it. It just takes time. But how do you explain that to somebody? Because I mean, it's like, I love that thing you said, where it's like, you saw the light at the end of the tunnel, just didn't know how far away it was.
Yeah.
Which was probably part of why you started on the journey. But you know, what if it takes 5 years? Like, isn't that crazy? How does somebody maintain their energy in, you know, through that?
I used to listen to the podcasts you used to do in the past, and the meetings and etc. And yeah, it's funny that most people who are in this business and people who started in this business,
right,
are people like that. They do something they don't like, and then they start this. And that gave me a lot of motivation when I heard like Chris Costa working in a bank until when he was 30. You know, I was like, okay, man, Chris Costa started at 30. I'm 25, so I think I can do it, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm saying like a lot of Brazilian names because I'm Portuguese. And actually, they're the ones that I remember closely because I've been following the Brazilian community work since I started this. I was motivated by other artists to be like them, you know. I used to go to CG Hub, which was Art Station a few years ago. And I was like, oh, this guy's work is amazing. Okay, I want to do like that too. And I can only be proud of myself and know that I can probably have a chance in the industry when I start doing work like that. And I have to thank my mom because she helped me a lot, motivating me. And I think it's important to have a healthy environment at your home when you're doing a career like this. Every artistic career is a fragile career, especially in terms of ego, because sometimes you can spend like a month doing something and then someone goes there and say, ah, it looks bad. And you go like, whoa, I am destroyed inside because of that comment. And artists' egos are very sensitive. When you're working with art and a demanding industry, etc., you have to be tough in some areas, I have to say.
That's actually a great point, because you create art because you've got that sensitive soul. But at the same time, the game industry requires results.
Yes, you have to have like the analytical mind and the artistic mind at the same time. And you have to play with constantly.
Yeah, and there's real consequences too. Like if you look at what happened to Mass Effect, the Andromeda game, I mean, the whole thing melted down.
I remember that the game had a lot of problems with animations and stuff.
All games have problems with animation.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, but for some reason or another, man, it just went down. And you know, I'm not here for judgment because I got no judgment on that. I'm an artist too. But what's interesting and fascinating to me on that is like there's real consequences. Like, you know, you have to deliver. You have to deliver results, and those results have consequences. But at the same time, you know, you're out there trying to create and grow. And in many ways, in the beginning, you're all by yourself. So what did your mother do that was different, that really helped?
She said, I always should be an artist from the beginning. No engineering. Just don't do engineering. Wow. But my father wanted me to go to the engineering because, you know, a stable career, the typical conversation you can read on books and in Hollywood movies, like the father wants to the kid to have a medicine diploma or lawyer, you know, always the same typical matrix job, I have to say.
Yeah.
And my mom was like, no, I think you should be an artist. You're always inclined to arts, and arts is your soul. And I had a rule when I was doing this, mm-hmm. which was, if someone can do it, I can do it too. It's mm-hmm. so simple. And I was like, there's people working in toy industry, in miniatures, in games. It's not one, you know, it's not like a superstar. It's like, it's a collective. It's a collective people. So I can be part of that whole team. And that motivated me a lot.
I kind of want to get that tattooed on the inside of my eyeball. That sounds great. If someone else can do it, so can I, right? So
yeah, exactly. Yes. I think it's a little bit arrogant to say that, but at the same time, you have to understand that I think everyone can do it.
It's important to remember that the effort that you see out there is a team effort.
Yes, yes. Always remember it's a team game. It's a teamwork. Yeah.
Yeah. So what kind of software do you recommend that people learn? Because I know things are changing a lot. And I personally have, I talk a little bit about some of the changes in ZBrush, although it's still, you know, like it's the powerhouse. It's the thing to learn. Yes.
ZBrush, for sure.
It's the mothership, you know, for so much of our inspiration and our joy.
It's the sun in the solar system.
All right, so we got to talk about some of the asteroids or some, you know, like what else do people need to learn? Because, you know, especially in my experience as a teacher, I find a lot of people that just get stuck in ZBrush, and that doesn't work. You got to go more than that. So
you have to go deeper. Yes.
Yeah. So what else do people need to focus on?
For example, for miniatures, I used to work in miniatures for 3 years, and ZBrush was the only software.
Yeah.
Okay. That's a very specific market and work, I have to say. But yeah. If you want to go to games or cinematics, Maya or Max or Blender, anything mm-hmm. that has a render engine and you can rig or animate anything. Marvelous Designer for clothing. And mm-hmm. in terms of character artists, even though weapon artists and everyone is learning it, Marvelous Designer now, it's a very powerful software. You can get really cool results really fast instead of sculpting them. Although sculpting them, it's important to understand clothing, but Marvelous Designer is the fastest way, because you have to remember that the analytical side of this job is you have to do things as fast as you can, as best as you can. So you have to do it in Marvelous in terms of clothing. The other one is Marmoset Toolbag for presentation, for mm-hmm. baking in this case. So it's a really good software at the moment, and it's trending, I would say. And Substance Painter. Like Substance Painter, if you want a texture. But for example, for cinematic, I think they would probably use or Substance Painter or Mari. And probably there's one more that I don't remember right now. But those are the softwares.
Now, in terms of somebody who wants, they want to be a character artist. They want to, let's say, go it alone and not necessarily take too many classes. They just want to get in and start to practice and just do work. Is it enough to just learn the software? What else should people be doing on top of just learning software?
They should be learning artistic skills and development, which is like, in this case, is anatomy, color theory, mm-hmm. study fabrics, study types of materials like leather, metal, fabric, skin, etc., proportions, anything related to art, which means like you don't need ZBrush to do art, right? You can do it with a paper and a pencil. And if you can do it in the paper, it means that you have the artistic skills. But most people who use ZBrush in the industry, they don't draw. They use ZBrush to sculpt. And those people, normally they develop a really good artistic skill inside ZBrush, which is actually the necessary for this industry and for their job. So yeah, I'm just going to repeat myself and saying like fabrics, anatomy, materials, proportions, everything, you know, silhouette, design. Actually, design helps a lot too. And those are the main skills before the software.
What do you mean study fabric? What does that mean?
How does it fold? Like leather folds in a way, fabric, types of fabrics fold in other ways. For example, I'm saying like, for example, when you're in Substance and you need to texture, right? You need to know how to do certain types of fabrics, like how does it shine, if it's shiny or not, etc. Right. You know?
Got it. And then are you studying these like getting into Substance or? And ultimately what I'm looking for is like, how can somebody, because this is one of the the small areas of being a character artist that make a difference. It's fabric, right? And we don't think about it because let's say I want to be a character artist and I'm like, I want to study anatomy.
And the monsters, right?
Yeah, right. And then next thing you know, you spent 2 years studying anatomy and then you put clothing over your entire character. And like, I'm looking right here at your screen and, you know, it's all like the production of what you did here. It's almost all clothing.
Yeah. I mean, so, there's a lot of anatomy. And for example, I did a dog and some other work. And there was like a lot of anatomy in those works. Mm-hmm. But there's a lot of fabric too. I mean, in a World War II game and setting, there's like loads of characters with loads of fabrics and types of fabrics. And each country had their own way of designing the equipment and the materials they were using and etc. It really depends on the task you're having. Because, for example, as you can see, the dog I made was one piece of many. And I worked on that game for a full year. So it really goes from a spectrum of different characters and different ways of seeing and doing certain assets. So it's like helmets, boots, pants, fur, zombies, statues, dogs, you know. It's such a huge quantity of different stuff. And I think the only thing that guided me throughout those things was the artistic skills. It wasn't the ZBrush. I mean, in ZBrush, you just can do anything, right? So there's a lot of research and a lot of references that can help you with achieving the results you want. And that's actually one of the most important things in the whole pipeline. It's like when you're doing something, you know how it's going to end because you always have the reference to help you.
Okay, great. So you started in miniatures.
Yes, I started in miniatures 3 years ago. And funny story, I was like doing portfolio. Mm-hmm. And my mom was like, oh, you should just try to find a freelance, you know? And I was like, okay, sure, I'm going to try. I'm probably going to fail because I don't have enough portfolio. Mm-hmm. And I saw like in a website, I don't even know if it exists anymore, called Creative Cow. And it was like announced like, Fantasy Flight Games needs a ZBrush character artist for freelance work. And I was like, sure, I'm going to apply. If they say no, who cares? You know, I tried it at least. So I sent it. And after 2 days, they removed the announcement, you know, the job offer. And I was like disappointed because, yeah, they probably found someone. And yeah, okay, let's keep working, you know. And then after 2 months, the guy sent me an artist, a paid artist, actually.
What?
And yeah.
What kind of voodoo did you work for that?
I don't know. It's my magical powers, I have to say.
Yeah.
And that's my first asset, Ardush X Eribush. And that was my first asset. It took me like, they gave me a month to do it. And I did it in a month. And then after that came another sculpture and another and another. And my first miniature, I took me 1 month because I didn't know how they wanted the details. Because in miniatures, it's different. It's everything is exaggerated and everything has to be prepared for printing. So no holes, no nothing. And then I just kept doing every month I was doing a miniature. And then it was funny that the whole process was my first month was a miniature. Then 3 weeks, it took me 3 weeks to do another miniature and then 2 weeks. And then I was like in a certain speed that it took me like a week to do a miniature, right? Mm. So I have to say that I started working in miniatures in February. And at the end of July, I was like doing miniatures really, really fast. So they were always constantly sending work to me. Yeah. And then in September, they sent me the Doom miniature game. And then the guy was like, we have the Doom miniature game from Bethesda. So you want to work on this? And I was like, yeah, sure. And then he shows me the concepts. And he goes like, pick three. And I said, no, I want all of them. And then the guy just said, okay, let's start with three. And then if you go well, because we have to deliver this in 3 months and we have to be fast, as usual in this industry. I started doing and doing and doing. And then I did all the miniatures except the big, big one for the game. And then I went to Dubai at the end of November to work there in animation studio. I worked there for 4 months while doing miniatures, doing freelance.
Yeah.
And then after 4 months, I went to Valencia. I got invited to work at Elite. Now I've been working there for 2 years and almost three. So
that's awesome. What do you love about working there?
The people. I actually like Spain a lot. I've been to Spain many years. I'm Portuguese, so the culture isn't very drastic in terms of difference. The language too, I speak the language easily. I think the work people are very, very positive, happy in general. Spanish people are happy in general, so that makes life easy, I guess. You know,
pretty late night culture too, if I remember right.
Yeah, they are there. They like to party, I have to say.
Yeah, everybody's
up late. And they know how to party.
Yeah, here in America, it's always like, I wake up at 4 a.m. because I'm productive. In Spain, I go to sleep at 4 a.m. Or in India, oh my God. In India, when I'm there, it's like, geez, at 12 o'clock at night, it's like still going outside. Pretty crazy.
Damn. I'm not a party guy, so.
Yeah, me neither. I am way too old at this point. So you, miniatures was a pathway.
Yes.
Okay, but yeah. When before you got into miniatures, you said you started doing some animation. Is that like?
I worked in an animation movie in Dubai. I was just doing characters. Yeah, modeling characters.
Great.
And on my LinkedIn, there's like a link to the YouTube, which has like a character I made. Those videos, I modeled the character, and colleagues of mine, they rigged it, did the hair, rendering, texturing, etc. It was just a very simple thing.
Yeah.
And they were doing an animation movie. But at the beginning, when I started in 3D, I was like, I'm going for animation. Mm-hmm. But then I slowly went to video games.
Yeah. And what I see here, too, is it's just like this big progression. And so now the last thing that you've got here posted is the Call of Duty stuff. And the level of tech has kind of become exponential, right? Like, so you're starting in ZBrush and your miniature and you're sculpting and, you know, you're getting your anatomy and you're getting your form and you got some pores. And you know, I think we actually have a miniature class coming up with Bob. And nice. He's going to teach it. I love it. His art station is literally artstation.com/Bob. And I was like, oh my God.
Whoa,
that's how'd you get that? Yeah. And he came in, he did a demo and a talk. And it's like, God, it's so simple how this stuff works, right? It's like you just take a cylinder and you cut it in half and you just jam that into another little sphere. And next thing you know, you got like armor and, you know, it's just this really, but a lot of us tend to overcomplicate things. I overcomplicate things. I'm like, I'm going to make this perfect and get this. But, you know, he's just going in showing these simple techniques. So I'm really kind of excited to kind of check that out. But the tech side of miniatures, pretty straightforward. ZBrush, right?
Yeah. No doubt.
Yeah. And then as you're going in, you're ramping up and you're doing this. So, you know, to this last one, like if we're looking at the Mountaineer, you know, you're dealing with hair cards and you're dealing with substance. You're dealing with a lot more involved in this, right? Mm-hmm. So how much or what is it that you're responsible for when you're doing this? Are you getting in doing hair and things like that too?
Yeah, I did hair too, but it's something that I can't show yet. But for example, in this character, the Mountaineer, a character was divided by three people because of deadlines. You know, I was responsible for the gloves, the boots, the pants, and a colleague of mine was responsible for the jacket and the fur. Another one for the head fur. The other one for the backpack. Sometimes it really depends if there's time for you to do an asset from beginning to finish.
Yeah,
and sometimes there's no time for that. It has to be divided by X amount of people and you have to do it because the client wants this in 2 weeks, you know, and the only way is to divide it.
All right. So what's the hardest part about being an artist?
Whoa, that's a hard question.
Maybe answering Ryan's questions. That might be
I think the hardest part for an artist.
Being an artist. Yeah.
And for most artists, I have to say that it's to finish work, which means like a lot of artists start many art, for example, in this case, many character artists start characters and they never finish. So I think the hardest part is to finish those characters.
Yeah, I don't think any of my students can relate. Can you guys?
Look, I think every artist in the industry and outside of it had this period of just doing things. And I had that for 2 years. And finally, it has stopped. You know, I think it's a phase because it's a phase of discovering yourself in terms of art, and I think you have to accept it, and that's it. But of course, don't stay in it forever, otherwise you're gonna lose, I have to say.
Yeah,
because actually finishing art is the most accomplishing thing you can do.
Yeah, I heard two people,
and that's when you learn things actually.
That makes sense. that's when it all comes together and growth really happens.
Exactly.
Yeah, no, I agree. I heard two different people talk about this. One was one of my coaches and the other one was Gary Vaynerchuk. And it was just a recent thing with Gary Vaynerchuk. And he was talking about it. He posted it on, I don't know where he posted it, but it was a video of him talking to a guy who was like, yeah, I want to make some music. And he's like, have you made music? And he's like, no, I'm trying this out. And you know, it was just this back and forth, this guy with his own BS, which we all have. And yeah. Gary was just straight up, you know, it's just confidence. Just confidence. If you're not doing the work, if you're not finishing the work, you just don't have the confidence in it yet.
Yeah, I mean, and confidence, you can build it up throughout time. And unless you're like that guy who says, oh, you like music, but if you don't start, then there's no confidence to be built upon it, you know?
Just got to do it.
Exactly.
The other thing one of my coaches said was, is you got to look at it as an integrity problem, you know, finishing work and committing. And, you know, it's just like, if you're not finishing work, then what's that say about your integrity? If you're saying yes, 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 and then not following through on that at the end of the day, years later, what does that say about your integrity?
Oof.
That's a tough one.
Right? That was many good things I have to say.
Yeah, I was like, ass. Like, what the hell? Don't talk to me like that.
But it's a really good way of thinking about it. Like placing the integrity word in it. Finishing work and integrity.
Yeah. Brings it home.
Yeah.
All right, David, man, it's been great talking to you. Any piece of advice you got? One piece of advice you got when artists are looking for this? Because I think your career is a really cool trajectory that I know a lot of people that they would like to follow. You started with the love of sculpting, just ZBrush, the mothership, and then from there, now all of this. Like, what advice you got somebody who wants to follow that path?
My advice is, if you want to do it, compromise. And if you want to compromise, know that it takes time. If it takes time, then don't think of being really good after a year. At least give it a try. You know, a medic needs 6 years to study to be a medic, at least in my country. Mm-hmm. And well, an artist, it takes a whole life is not enough to be a really good artist. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm joking here, but you always grow as an artist.
I'm right there with you. I believe you.
Yeah. But if you want to work in this industry, just commit to it. Talk to people. I always respond to emails and to messages. Ask things. Be curious about it. Work, 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 work. Like, that's 90% of it. Do what you like in terms of the work. That's one thing I've learned with not finishing pieces of art, was because I was doing things that I felt they're going to be cool, but were things that I wasn't enjoying doing. So I spoke with myself and I said, look, I just do things you like and everything is going to be cool. And that's it.
Awesome. That's awesome, man. Thank you so much for that, guys. Thanks for being here. David, have an amazing evening. You're heading into a weekend, sort of.
Tomorrow, the day after tomorrow.
Yeah, it's late at night there now. That's right. I forgot what time it was.
Oh, no, it's fine.
Oh, yeah. Spain, whatever.
Exactly.
Take care, my friend. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
Have a conversation and, you know, meet you online here. All right.
Thank you for spending the night here. Thank you.
All right. Bye. See you guys.
Bye. All right. So I want to thank you so much for being here, for taking the time, and for listening to this podcast. And I want to ask a couple of things from you. Number one, make sure you leave a comment or you rate this on iTunes, Stitcher, wherever it is that you're getting this. That's going to make a big difference in helping us get the word out and get people to know who we are. All right. The other thing is, I want to make sure you know where to find us. So you can head over to www.gameartinstitute.com, where you can learn about our flagship program, which is the Game Artist Bootcamp. This is designed for those who are really looking to move the needle on their career and really lock in that job. You may have gone to school and learned a bunch, maybe haven't learned a bunch. But at the Game Art Institute, the primary focus we have is the very specific industry skills, the triggers that you really need to hit in that job interview. What are the specific things that they're looking for? That's what we're going to be training you on. We're taking applications right now for environment artists and for character artists. So make sure you head over to www.gameartinstitute.com and apply today. That way we can have that conversation, make sure this is a fit for you, make sure that you're a fit for it. And if everything is perfect, then we will sign you up for that right away and get you into your training and start moving the needle on your career. All right. Thank you so much again for being here. Take care. Have an amazing day.